are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host on this Friday episode of the show. It is a mailbag show. I haven't done a full mailbag episode in a while, so we're going to take that opportunity today on this Friday show, getting ready for week three, 49ers at the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be a good one, and I asked on Twitter for some hopes and fears from Locked On 49ers listeners, and there's a lot of fearfulness and a lot of hopefulness out there. So we'll get to the mailbag in just one second. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers and all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Not only NFL shows, we've got all the NBA teams covered, more and more Major League Baseball teams, college teams as well, on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's one of the places to get these mailbag questions in. It's the best place to get the mailbag questions in. And you can email the show, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. All right, so mailbag time. Well, there was a Thursday night football game. I guess I got to talk about that a little bit because it's a pretty major deal. Number one overall quarterback, Baker Mayfield for the Cleveland Browns, comes in for an injured Tyrod Taylor and looks really good. Leads the Browns to their first victory since December of 2016, and he leads them to victory over the New York Jets, who are an up-and-coming team right now. I like a lot of the young talent on the New York Jets roster, and they are quarterbacked by the number three overall pick in Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold did not look great in that game, and Baker Mayfield did look very good. So it was a fun game. You know, Jets Browns was not something I circled on my calendar, and I wasn't even watching the game. I was with my wife. We were with the baby, kind of strolling around Valencia Street in San Francisco, and I saw on Twitter, took out my phone, and noticed that Tyrod Taylor's out of the game. And so I was like, you know what? You go do your thing over here. I'm going to duck into this sports bar real quick and see what's going on in this football game. And yeah, it was pretty good. Baker Mayfield was slinging the ball all over the place, doing a lot of the things we saw him do at Oklahoma, making room for himself in the pocket, threw some, at least one interception worthy throw, but it bounced right off the shoulder pad of the Jets defender in the end zone. And it looks like he already has a pretty good rapport with a lot of the receivers in that offense: Rashard Higgins, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku. So yeah, and he's really good throwing the ball over the middle part of the field, which Tyrod Taylor has not been, and really is okay with taking chances. He's got the arm to make some big throws, and so it's pretty obvious. I mean, Baker Mayfield's the starter now. That's it. I mean, it doesn't matter how healthy Tyrod Taylor is going into week four. It's Baker Mayfield's show now. He is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, a paradigm shift there for the Browns. Three games into the season, the Browns only have one loss. They are 1-1-1, so that's an interesting development. And a funny story, this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm sitting there while I did have my one beer watching this game. This dude walks in. He's sort of a very low budget looking, like, alcoholic version of John Hamm. He comes in kind of disheveled. Maybe he looks like someone who could have had a really good job at one point in his life, but probably is not at that point any longer. But he comes in, the game's on, there's some people next to me that I think are Browns fans, are pretty interested in this game. I'm just trying to have fun watching this game, watching Darnold versus Mayfield part one. He's like, oh yeah, Cleveland. Or no, he says, oh yeah, Cincinnati, the Bengals, they were like really good last year, huh? And I was like, oh no, actually that's the Browns. He's like, oh, yeah, Browns. That's what I meant, Browns. They were like the best team in the league last year, right? He's like, no, actually, they haven't won a game in like 2 years, dude. And then the bartender served him his drink, and he just walked away and went to the opposite end of the bar, as he should. He actually should have walked out. We should have all walked out, and they should have shut down that bar forever is what should have happened after that comment. But I don't know. It made me laugh. It's one of those moments where you look around and you wish someone else heard it, or you wish you were with a friend to properly laugh at how wrong this guy was, and what kind of a rock are you living under to even know that there's a team called the Browns that they were not the best team in the NFL last year. So that was my night. on Thursday night. Now I'm here doing this podcast for you guys. So let's talk Niners and let's open up this mailbag. Okay, let's open things up with Dylan on Twitter. He says he hopes that Pierre Garçon does something, anything of substance at this point. This week would be a nice start. Has he caught a TD as a 49er yet? He's G's fourth option. He has not caught a touchdown pass as a 49er. He had 40 catches for 500 yards last year, but zero touchdowns. But I would say he's done something. I think he's still a pretty major contributor for the 49ers right now. He had that block. He blocked a dude for about 40 yards to help Matt Breida into the end zone. I think he should get a shared touchdown. You know how they have half sacks? I think he should get a half touchdown for Matt Breida's touchdown in week two because of that block he put on that defender all the way down the field. So I got no problem with what Pierre Garçon's doing. Yeah, he's not a stud number one receiver as you think of those players around the league. He's not Julio Jones. He's nothing like that. He's on the wrong side of 30 years old, but he's a pretty good player. And he's what the 49ers need, I think, on one side of the ball. They need to get more production from everybody, including Jimmy Garoppolo and the young receivers stepping up and Marquise Goodwin healthy and really just get the timing down. And I think that should happen and hopefully will happen in week three for the 49ers in Kansas City against that porous Chiefs defense. And if it doesn't, and you know, if it doesn't start to hit in a few weeks, I think we have more problems than just Pierre Garçon on offense. To Zach we go. He says, at this point in his career, I can't see Malcolm Smith as anything more than a very expensive and unreliable depth piece. They can't honestly be considering starting him over Fred Warner, right? The Warner Foster is the future and could be deadly. 100%, Zach. I mentioned it earlier with Hugh Jackson after the Browns game talking about Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor and talking about how he doesn't know, you know, there's no decisions made about starters. It's obvious it's Baker Mayfield. For the 49ers, I would be blown away if Malcolm Smith is actually starting over Fred Warner. It's Fred Warner's job. Fred Warner won the job. He's too young, too talented. He's proven that he's the guy. And Reuben Foster is obviously not going to go anywhere. So it's Warner and Foster, and that's that. That's it. That's the way it's going to be. And it's pretty amazing that now Malcolm Smith might actually be ready to play and healthy and ready to go in a regular season game for the 49ers, and there's nowhere for him to play because they've got a guy now. Foster was out for 2 weeks. Malcolm Smith couldn't play, and now the rookie's ready to go at middle linebacker, so you don't need that veteran presence in the middle anymore like you might have before. You know, he might rotate in. Maybe he'll get some looks at strong side linebacker, even though I've seen a lot of talk about that, and I don't know maybe if he's been practicing there behind the scenes, but I don't think he played there at all. From all reports I've seen from all the beat writers, he's just not the right fit. He's not the right player for Sam linebacker in the scheme. It's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker type of player. So Malcolm Smith, I don't think, is even a fit for Sam linebacker. So I don't know if we'll see him there either. So, you know, rotational guy. And like you mentioned, he's going to be an expensive depth piece for the 49ers. That's all he is. And as long as Warner and Foster are ready to go and are looking good and are who we think they are, then in the offseason, Malcolm Smith's probably going to get cut just because you can't pay that much for a backup linebacker. This episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online ticket event marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experience that will last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. And of course, especially San Francisco 49ers football games. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. And a special offer for Locked On 49ers listeners with the podcast code Locked On. Listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download Vivid Seats app. Enter promo code Locked On to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. And when you go to Vivid Seats, pick up those 49ers tickets. Remember, use promo code Locked On. Let's move along to Eric on Twitter. He says he hopes that Reuben Foster hits the ground running. He fears that Tyreek Hill breaks Weatherspoon's ankles. He's not exactly 100% health-wise or assignment-wise. Can he sort his game out to try to cut out trying to cheat his coverage and just play smarter? Robert Saleh talked about on Thursday, actually, in a post-practice press conference about that very thing and Weatherspoon just trusting himself and trusting his technique. And I think there's, I think part of it is maybe he started to panic a little bit. He's kept getting targeted and targeted, and he looked like he was getting caught out of position and just wasn't trusting himself and wasn't playing to his technique. I think if he just plays sound, plays to his technique, I think he can just calm down a little bit. As long as that ankle is healthy, he's dealing with an injury right now. But it looks like he will have a chance to play, although Robert Saleh wouldn't confirm that he's going to for sure be the starter at right cornerback. I got to believe he is. Just, you know, you're right. Play smart. Trust your talent. Trust your instincts. Trust your ability and trust that technique. And it's not the most difficult scheme for a cornerback to play in for a few reasons. And you got some help inside. And hopefully we'll see the Akella Weatherspoon that everyone was expecting to see in week three. Shout out to Kruger, my old co-host at our college radio show, Sports Outside the Mainstream at KSFS. He says the chances the Niners get blown out. I acknowledge that the lack of context in this stat, but the Niners haven't won in Kansas City since 1982, 0-4 since then. More bothersome are the last three losses versus only one notable Kansas City team were ugly. Average score 38-6. San Francisco helmets in Arrowhead bring bad memories. Yeah, including of those 0-4, one of those was Joe Montana's Chiefs beating Steve Young's 49ers in, I think that was the 1994 season that the Niners would eventually end up winning the Super Bowl. So it all turned out okay, but Joe Montana having the last laugh, beating his protege Steve Young in Arrowhead. And Arrowhead is a tough place to play for every team. It has been that for the Niners, and I think that's one of the reasons why this is such a tough draw. And look, right now the 49ers season's playing out. Even if they lose week three, and Winkler and I both went through the schedule, we had L's penciled in Arrowhead on the road. It's a tough matchup. Just like week one was a tough matchup in Minnesota. Very different rosters, very different reasons it's a tough matchup, but Arrowhead Stadium is a tough place to play for everybody. Right now, the 49ers aren't clicking. If they do start to click, that'll be a great sign if they can come out of there with a win. But don't be discouraged, 49ers fans. If it is a loss, there's a chance that the 49ers go 0-5 since 1982 at Arrowhead. Great stat, by the way, Kruger. Way to come strong. All right, let's keep it going here with Craig on Twitter. He says, Brian, would you agree that the likeliness of Warner playing long-term middle linebacker makes him a more valuable option in a fantasy football IDP position than Reuben Foster? Interesting. Got Warner in my lineup and was expecting to bring Foster in this week, but can't decide if I should do it now. Help. All right, we're going deep here with the fantasy football individual defensive position players, IDP fantasy football. And I do play a dynasty IDP league. I play another keeper IDP league. So I'm into the IDP thing. I like it. If you're starting a fantasy football league, you want to get deep. So much better than team defense. Team defense is garbage compared to IDP. It's a lot more fun. You're missing half of the football. You're missing half the players in the league when you're not playing IDP. I have Warner in one league. I have Foster in the other. If I had to choose one to play over the other, I would 100% play Reuben Foster. And those two inside linebacker positions are so similar that I don't think it really matters as far as usage goes. I think, if anything, Warner might take on a few more blocks, leaving Foster a little bit more open to go make plays. And he's going to be in space. Foster, he doesn't have the green dot in his helmet. He's not communicating. He's just free to go make plays. And if it's, you know, both those guys and a ball carrier, I'm going to put money on Reuben Foster getting there first. You know what I mean? So he might steal a couple of those tackles away from Fred Warner next week. Yeah, go Reuben Foster. Nice to roster both those guys, though. Super talented, rangy players. And this scheme puts a lot of emphasis on those guys with the ability to have that range, sort of like Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright in Seattle, sort of like Telvin Smith and Miles Jack in Jacksonville. Both are worth rostering. Both can really make a lot of plays and make a lot of tackles and get you a lot of fantasy points week to week. To Jason on Twitter, he asks, the Chiefs' pass rush was pretty ineffective against Pittsburgh. Can we exploit this? Absolutely. That whole defense is exploitable. They still have Justin Houston over there. He hasn't really made a big impact so far this season. But he and Chris Jones, little D Ford, I think they could generate a little pass rush on the 49ers. But the secondary, that defense is ripe for the picking. So I think the 49ers have to be able to exploit a lot of things, including having time for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw, players getting open, and making big plays after the catch. So I'm looking for the 49ers to have big plays on all levels of that Chiefs defense. Demetrio on Twitter hopes to see some team cohesion. Exactly. That's kind of the key that we're going on here for week three for the 49ers. Some cohesion on offense. I like that word. Offense spells defense, and defense puts the ball back in the hands of the offense. Big plays on both sides of the ball fuel the team as a whole, and Demetrio fears team's overall lack of discipline will get the Niners in big trouble in Kansas City. To Drew, he says they need to finish sacks. Get some turnovers. Jimmy G needs to have some big plays. I fear Akello has another poor game. Finish those sacks. That's so key. And pressures are good, but when you can hit the quarterback, you can create turnovers. You can end drives, and it's so key. And right now, DeForest Buckner is the only guy that's getting actually to the quarterback and finishing those sacks for the 49ers. San Fran 6-co, get it? Quest for 6. Looking for that 6th Super Bowl ring right there on that Twitter handle. He fears Reuben Foster could get hurt. He wants Reuben Foster to have a positive impression in this game, and he hopes that they can hold Kansas City in check. Need to keep him off the field. I think that's big. Have a few big series. They might get theirs. They've got some explosive weapons on offense. Make Patrick Mahomes throw some turnovers. I think that'll be huge. Overconfidence. And the 49ers defense, I think, has opportunity to really show up and show the Chiefs something they haven't seen yet this season. And yes, Reuben Foster, please stay healthy. He's back on the field now after 2 games. It would be terrible to see him all of a sudden get hurt and go down with an injury the first week he's back. Joey's biggest fear is Mahomes goes crazy and puts up another 6 touchdowns, and he hopes Jimmy G can keep up with Kansas City's offense and match him point for point. Is this the week he plays a complete game? I think it is. We're going to see it, man. One of these weeks we're going to see. And look, we saw for 5 weeks last year with no practice time, with no knowledge of not zero knowledge, but you know, a few weeks worth of knowledge working with Kyle Shanahan. And so I think what happened here is that Jimmy Garoppolo now had that full offseason and he got everything dumped on him. So I think we're seeing maybe a situation where Jimmy Garoppolo has to get a little bit worse before he can get better. That learning curve, really having the full offense down and being in full control of the offense. And that goes with the receivers too. There's just been some little timing hookups. And if Jimmy thinks one guy's going one way and he throws the ball that way and the receiver goes the other way, that's tough. So you can't put that all on Jimmy Garoppolo either. So it's the entire offense really getting together. But Jimmy is a big part of that too. To Richard, he hopes the youngster Patty will try Sherm, and Sherm gets his first pick of hopefully many interceptions. I think that's a possibility. If Patty tries to get, that is Pat Mahomes, tries to get a little too cute and starts trying people and trying to fit balls in there, I think the 49ers defense could potentially make him pay. To Adam on Twitter, he says he's fallen behind quick. We need to dictate game flow. They have only played with a lead. Let's quiet the crowd and see if this kid is all that. Oh, that's a great point, Adam. I love that. Jump out to the early lead, take the crowd out of it a little bit. See if Pat Mahomes is a front runner, right? See when things are going tough, you smack him in the mouth. Dude, I say send Reuben Foster in a couple of blitzes. I believe the 49ers have sent the 3rd fewest blitzes in the league right now. So let's get some pressure on Mahomes, make him uncomfortable. I think that's where it all begins. 49ers get out to a lead, make Mahomes uncomfortable. I think that is absolutely the recipe. That's a good call, Adam. All right, we got a few more mailbag questions and hopes and fears to get to here on Twitter, but I do want to remind everybody that fantasy football is underway, and we have 2 fantasy football shows to help you on the Locked On Podcast Network. One is Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 that gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every Monday, Tom Kucinich, Tuesdays, Eric Edholm, Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff, and Tyler Lochner. And of course, the Locked On Podcast Network is expanding with college shows coming soon on the network. We've got Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. That's to go with Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, Crimson Tide, Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. All right, let's keep this thing rolling. Let's go to our boy Sully, frequent mailbag questioner. He asks, if the 49ers offense struggles against a decidedly weak Chiefs defense, what steps do you think they take to fix it? Is it giving Jimmy G more weapons, better line, etc., or do they have to rework the playbook? I'm definitely not going to be one to call out Kyle Shanahan and says he needs to do anything with the playbook. If anything, playbook-wise, I mean, I think they could do better in the red zone. Maybe some play calling could help in that respect. I haven't seen a big enough sample to be like, oh, he's doing this and not this, and this needs to happen. Nothing like that. I mean, I think you could argue. Look, a lot of fans took exception to Matt Derry, who was the host of Locked On Lions, when we did the Wednesday crossover before week two. A lot of my listeners were upset that he kind of disrespected the 49ers wide receiver core. And basically from his perspective, he's looking at that the names and he's like, I don't really know. Who are these guys? They don't strike fear into me. And I don't think they should strike fear into a defensive coordinator. That's kind of what he's saying. And I see where he's coming with that. You know, you have to make the league respect you. So the 49ers receiving core has to show up and prove that they're primetime players, right? So that could be an argument. It maybe the 49ers just don't have enough weapons for Jimmy Garoppolo on offense, and that could be it. The line will continue to get better. I think the 49ers will continue to put resources into the line. I like what they've done already. It's been a vast improvement over last year, so I think you can check the offensive line box right now. That's not really a problem with the offense. You know, they lost their number one running back. They could definitely add some weapons, and I think the play calling with the cohesion on offense, with Jimmy Garoppolo getting more comfortable, with the receivers being more comfortable, with Jimmy and the offense, I think everything kind of grows together and grows at once. And when it clicks, it might happen very quickly. And the hope is that that would happen week three against that Chiefs defense. Let's go to Ferocious Gentleman. He says, first off, big ups to Leo growing like a giant. Got a double whammy for you. Well, thank you very much. My son Leo, he's very big and tall. He's growing fast. He might actually grow into the Leo position now that I think about it, because he's growing fast. Big hands. He's strong. He's already trying to like stand up anytime you put him near his legs. He's a big boy. So Ferocious Gentleman has a double whammy for us here. One, who gets more all-purpose yards, the real cheetah or the imposter in Kansas City? I mean, if you're a betting man, I would still bet that this is going to be a pass-heavy game. And I think the game script for the 49ers, if the Chiefs start scoring a lot, is they're going to have to throw a lot. And so that doesn't bode well for Breida. So if I'm a betting man, I would say that the imposter cheetah in Kansas City, who goes by the Twitter name @cheetah, that is Tyreek Hill, I would probably put my money on him getting more all-purpose yards. And two, he says, I know you picked Kansas City to win, but what absolutely has to happen for us to get the W? Non-injury, please. Don't want any bad karma on us. Laugh out loud, yeah. No, not wishing injury upon anybody, but hitting the quarterback is number one. He's too comfortable right now. This is like that Major League Baseball thing where you got a rookie who comes into the bigs and he's just raking on everybody, hitting bombs, and he's too comfortable. You got to back him off the plate a little bit. And that's what the 49ers need to do to Pat Mahomes, is back him off the plate. They need to hit him. They need to make him uncomfortable. They need to create some turnovers, take the crowd out of it, run the ball, have the ability to run the ball and not be forced to just throw for points and play catch-up or get in a shootout with Kansas City. So I think that's the number one thing is, I would say, hit Patrick Mahomes. Let's keep it rolling with Taylor on Twitter. His hopes are a good game from Jimmy, get a feel for how the offense will look with Goodwin. Yes, key. We haven't mentioned Marquise Goodwin coming back. That should be a nice element for the offense to really keep that Kansas City defense honest and someone who could push the ball down the field a little bit more. And then Breida wins the Battle of the Cheetahs. Yeah. Okay, those are some good hopes there. His fears are Witherspoon keeps getting exposed. I think that's on the minds of 49ers fans right now. That has been a constant fear in this mailbag segment. And his other fear is falling behind early and dig ourselves a giant hole. Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that. You want to do the exact opposite. Get up early and then try to play from in front. Keep that Arrowhead crowd quiet. To Richard, he said, did Jimmy forget how to go through his progressions? Why did he look like it was a one read and then take the sack last Sunday? You know, that's inexplainable, Richard. I have no idea why Jimmy Garoppolo was so hesitant to throw, and the numbers really bear it out. He was sitting in the pocket waiting for guys to get open, and I think he and Kyle Shanahan both kind of danced around that answer, and I think the answer is that the guys were not getting open. I think that's part of it. So a lot of the onus right now, I think it's not only on Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's got to make good throws, and he's got to recognize when a throw shouldn't be made, but he's got to get rid of the ball quicker, and maybe he needs to move his feet a little bit more, get out, try to make a play on the run. But the receivers have to get open. Right now, the pressure's on the receivers. Get open, make plays on the ball, make plays after the catch, make things easier for Jimmy and the offense. All right, we got a couple more here. Let's go to Tone Boat. I love Tone Boat. Sounds like a name for a classic rock cover band. Tone Boat. Tone Boat's biggest fear is Witherspoon not bouncing back and Mahomes torching him just like Stafford did last week. Do you think Witherspoon will bounce back or will he continue to struggle? No, I fully think Witherspoon's going to bounce back. And on another note, Richie James, when do you think he'll make his NFL debut? Oh, Richie James right now is a secret weapon for the 49ers. I would love to see them bust him out and maybe even get him some work in the backfield, sort of like they did with Kendrick Bourne in that red zone play. They got him a touchdown last week. Get him out of the backfield making some plays as a receiver. Heck, hand the ball off to him if you want. I want to see Richie James on the field, but there's a chance that he's not even active at all since Marquise Goodwin is back. So that's the kind of the plus and minus of that is it's great to have Marquise Goodwin back if he is ready to go for the 49ers this week, but that means somebody else has to be inactive, and that might be Richie James, unfortunately. All right, let's finish this up with Adam. And he says he feels like Mahomes is going to regress to the mean soon. Could it be this week? Maybe he throws some of those picks he was so fond of in camp. Also, Hill gives me nightmares going back to the one-on-one Sherm versus Keese rep. Colbert needs to be fire. I think that's a fire emoji. Yes, Adam, I do agree. Colbert's going to have to be on his game, as is the entire secondary. Jaquaski Tartt is not participating in practice so far this week, so that's concerning. They're going to have to throw somebody else in there at strong safety, maybe the rookie DJ Ward. They do have a few options of guys they can put at strong safety, but that's a rough development for the 49ers because you do want to be full strength in the secondary going against this team, and players like Tyreek Hill and Chris Conley and Sammy Watkins. And that's not even to mention Travis Kelce. But, you know, having Reuben Foster back is going to help for some of that stuff in the short area and the middle of the field and covering the flats. But Sherm's going to have to be Sherm. Keller Witherspoon's going to have a huge bounce back game. And Colbert is going to have to cover some serious ground in center field for the 49ers on Sunday. But real quick, yeah, to answer that first part of the question, Adam, is I agree. Look, even if things don't go great for the 49ers, Mahomes has to regress. He's not going to have 80 touchdowns to zero interceptions on the season, right? He's not going to average 5 touchdowns per week. He's going to regress to the mean at some point. Is this the week at home against the 49ers that he regresses? Maybe, but he's going to regress sometime. So it's up to the 49ers to make sure that regression happens now. So again, that comes back to DeForest Buckner, get in there, make him feel you, hit Patrick Mahomes, make him move his feet, make him make throws he doesn't want to make, create turnovers, create big plays, get a lead, and then you can really pin your ears back and go after him once you've got a lead and you quiet down that Arrowhead crowd. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks for everybody who got involved there. Tried to go rapid fire as much as I could to get through as many of those Twitter mailbag questions as I could. Thank you so much for getting involved. If I didn't get to your question, I apologize. I will get to you next week. So keep those questions coming on Twitter at BD Peacock, or you can email me at lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And I'll be back with you guys on Monday doing a rapid react from the 49ers at the Kansas City Chiefs. All right. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.